Amen. All right, in the book of Leviticus, I want to read in the 23rd chapter, and I want to read about the Feast of Tabernacles that they had in the Old Testament. I want to bring this New Testament Feast of Tabernacles. I want to bring it over into our day and time, see what the Lord will do, and I probably won't finish today. We'll probably continue this next service, and we'll see what. I believe the Lord has something good for us here, and I think it will help us. Amen. And the thing about this feast that intrigues me more than any of the other feasts is that they dwelled in booths. They came. All Israel came together to worship to the temple and so on, but they built booths, and everybody had their own booth because they were going to be there for quite a time. It took several days to get moved in and get everything moved in and build a little booth. They were temporary dwelling places, and they only was for a week. And the thing about it is that, and the one thing that about it, everybody could have their own place to retreat, to refresh themselves, and to have their private moments, see? Amen. And that's important, isn't it, in this day and time. Everybody have their place to retreat. Come to worship God all as one. But then we go to our own separate homes and separate places. We have our places to retreat, to meditate, to think. Think about what the preacher said and think about what happened. And just to eat and take our baths and so on. Of course, they didn't have bathtubs down and showers, see. Amen. For our personal hygiene and all, because they were staying there a week. And 7 days, and it is typical of the seven church ages. And the time we've come through. But what the thing that intrigues me most about it was the fact that they, each one had their separate places of dwelling for this time. And I noticed that song was sang. Bob and Jenny sang there about we're separate from the world or whatever. I thought it was just coming right in. And I said, that's good. That'll go right with what I'm thinking about ministering on. And I think everything has went according to God's plan this morning. And before reading this, I'll say this. The reason I am ministering on this, it seems that the hand of the Lord was in it. I've never ministered on forces, so this will be the first time. And I'll tell you, I don't have notes either. So I'm just going to try to zero in and get close to what the Lord would have me to say. Amen. Try to bring my mind in harmony with the mind of the Holy Spirit that I may speak words that will bless and edify you. But the reason that I chose this to speak on, I feel the Lord's leading that way, but I had a dream this week, a very peculiar dream. And just on the onset, the dream might sound outrageous. But when you look at it, you'll see. In this dream, I had a dream that there was a huge bed. Well, there was different couples in the bed. Now, they weren't swapping wives or anything of that nature. But they were all just kind of like that. And I was there too, you know. But I said, I'm not comfortable with this situation. You know, I'm not comfortable. You know, well, naturally you wouldn't be, see? Amen. Like I said, there weren't no wife swapping or anything that like that going on. But everybody kind of in the same bed together, you know. Well, the dream, it wasn't a whole lot to the dream. But when I woke up, I was saying something. And I didn't realize what I was saying. I was saying the Feast of the Tabernacles. And Barbara says, she's waking up too. She says, what is that? I says, what is what? The Feast of the Tabernacles. She said, "That's what you were saying, the Feast of the Tabernacles." I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay." I said, "The Feast of the Tabernacles is the feast where Israel would come once a year, and they would build booths. Each one would have their separate..." Now notice it. "Each one would have their separate place. But as they would go into the temple, the Bible says, as one man," see. In other words, they would grow there together, but when they departed, they had their separate place. See, the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation about casting the old mother whore in the bed, and them that commit fornication with her, and so on and so forth. And I said, somebody's talking about denomination. I said, "I don't want to get in the bed with that, you know. I'm talking spiritual here, not the literal bed." But in the bed there, it weren't nothing illegal going on or anything, but there was just a couple here, a couple here, a couple here, you know, like that, in the same bed. See? And God has His way of letting us know things, doesn't He? Amen. And then that's when thank this, show that God's real, the Holy Ghost is real. I woke up saying the Feast of the Tabernacles, and I've never preached on it in my life. See? So God's in the arrangement. So the thing that intrigues me about it, and again, Barbara asked me, what is that Feast of the Tabernacles? I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "That's what you were saying, the Feast of the Tabernacles." You see how God gets in the arrangement, see? And then I said, "Well, it's a place where they come and, you know, they gather together and they live in booths for a week there, and they go to the temple and they worship, they sacrifice and whatever." And then it hit me. Everybody has their separate place. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something here before I begin to read. Everybody has their separate place in Christ. Now listen, let me say this. We are members of the body of Christ. How many knows it, Paul? If we get to it, we're members of the body of Christ, but as a unit, we're married to Him. We're not married to one another, we're married to Christ. We're just a member of the body. You see how it fits? We're members of each other, but we're not married to each other. And when I say not married, I know we got husband and wife. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking in the sense of the body of Christ. We, many members, make up one body. And Paul, when he was writing in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, I believe down 20, starting about verse 20 down through there, I think, he was saying this. He says, he quoted the scripture that God gave Adam and Eve in the beginning about man leave father and mother and so forth and be joined to one, and said there'll be one in the Lord, one flesh. And I'm not reading, I'm just quoting. And he said, "This is a great mystery." He said, "But I'm speaking of Christ and the church." See, Christ and the church. And even before the fall took place, God gave Adam and Eve a commandment, and He told them about marriage, how they come together and be one, and so on. And He said, "You shall leave your father and your mother, and you'll be joined together, you'll become one flesh." In other words, everybody don't live in the same house. Amen, because God is so big, so great, He gave us everyone a separate dwelling place, yet we're one. Now, I don't know too much about DNA and stuff like that. I've read a little on it, but I'm not educated on it. But if of all the billions of people on earth, it is said that they got a different DNA. How about now? That's big God. And fingerprints, everybody got a different fingerprint. What I'm saying is we're individuals in God. Amen. Now we're members of the body, but we're not the same. Amen. Jesus said in St. John there, the 14th chapter, in one of the versions there, it says, where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." One of the versions says, "In my Father's domain are many dwelling places." So you've got your own dwelling place in God. Nobody can take your place. Nobody can get you out of it. Amen. You've got your own place in God. How many will say amen? See, the Bible says your name were on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now, a name denotes a person. A name that there's no person there, a name don't mean anything. When if Joanne says something about Larry here, I don't think of a name, I think of a person. Amen. If somebody says something about Brother Bob here, I think of a person. Because a name denotes a person. Hallelujah. So your name, your person was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. And it's yours and yours alone. You have your own place in God. How many will say amen? And your own place, nobody can get there. Now, during time of fellowship, when they weren't having meeting, if you wanted to invite somebody over to your booth, you could do it and have the fellowship and have a meal. But then everybody had their own place, the retreat, your own individual booth. So you might, like God give you a gift of singing, reading poem, like Gene and Doug did this morning, and all that. And God give you a place. You can invite others in. You can invite others to sing with you. And you can invite others to do this and help you. Amen. But you have your own particular place in God. Amen. Is that right? See, now, that's what, now, you see how the dream fit now? We were all in the same, God don't want us all in the same bed. And I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking about a literal bed. He wants us all to be individuals in Him. Praise God. So I'm going to read now. And we'll catch several places. This is the Old Testament. And some don't think the Old Testament's interesting. But you can get some good things out of the Old Testament. There's things in there not yet fulfilled. Praise God. But I want to begin reading in Leviticus 23, verse 33. Now this all types out the New Testament on into eternal age. The Old Testament type of new. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles." Notice, more than one tabernacle, tabernacles. "For 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work there." In other places it says Sabbath. So this is on the first day. There will be a Sabbath on the 8th day of Sabbath. Amen. We've done had one Sabbath, the early church. We're expecting God to move in a tremendous way in this last day to close it down. Praise God. After the 7th church age is over. But we'll get more on that later, probably. All right. Verse 36 says, 7 days shall you offer sacrifice. Seven days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it is a solemn assembly. Assembly, get all, everybody get together. And you shall go, do no servile work therein. In other words, don't do a lot of other unnecessary things. It's a time to just call aside and worship the Lord. Alright? Verse 37 says, "These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon His day." The different offering they would offer. And I'm not going into what they would mean or something on that. But verse 38, "Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offering, which ye give unto the Lord." They give free will. That, now I'm going to stop you on that. I'm not going to. But I think, you know, that's the reason. We never insist on anybody giving anything. You know why? The Bible everywhere speaks free will offering. How many knows it? Free will. You do it out of your own free will. If I have to say, please give me this, please give me that, please. Hey, I tell you, you say that preacher is not in the Word. Amen. Is that right? Because it was something in the heart of the people, free will. All right, let me go on with it. All right. He says here, verse 39, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, notice after harvest now, because that will be typed out a little later as we go along, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day there shall be a Sabbath. See, that's what we had, a great church in the first age. There shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day there shall be a Sabbath. See, that's what we had, a great church in the first age, and then the last day he said, do the same, after 7 church age is over. Verse 40, and you shall take unto you the first day the broth of goodly trees. Now watch the booth now. Now booth, as we get, is temporary dwellings. And let me tell you something. These bodies we live in is temporary dwelling places. How many knows it? Amen. But the Bible says there's a tabernacle reserved in heaven. It's eternal. That's what Brother Doc said that about the inner man. That Doc, see how that fit? Amen. The inner man it's eternal. But this old outer man, it'll perish, the Bible says. Glory to God. But said we have a tabernacle in heaven. Amen. It's eternal. So this is typing out. Watch them here. They take the natural things and make them booths. This is not the permanent home. Let me get verse 40 again. It says, and ye shall take unto you on the first day the broth of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the broth of thick trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. While you're building your temple, just rejoicing in the Lord. Therefore, in these old bodies, we rejoice in the Lord, don't we? Some people say, buddy, I'm going to shout when I get there. Well, I'm not sure you are enough. You can't shout here. Amen. Come on. This is good here, not just over there. I enjoy my salvation now. Well, even while they were even getting the stuff built, they're building. They were rejoicing. All right. Let me continue. Because if I get started preaching on one verse, I'll get in trouble here. If verse 41 says, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. Once a year they did this. It shall be a statue forever in your generation as you celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths. Now this ain't a nice house yet. It's something they took branches. They just made something they were only going to be here 7 days. And some might have brought a chair from home. Some might have brought something to sleep on home, and some slept on the ground properly. Depending on how much they wanted to put in getting it ready, because this was their individual booth. Amen. If you come to my house, don't expect me to do like I do at your house. You do at your house. Amen. Is that right? That's my house. That's where I go. Amen. If I want to do something different, amen. If I want to go to bed at 12 o'clock and get up at 3, that's my business. Amen. Is that right? Or if I want to go to bed at sundown and get up at 3 in the morning, that's my business. That's my custom and my ways. Amen. My mama used to say there ain't no house big enough for two families because we do things differently, you know. Some want to go to bed early and some want to get up late. Some want to play music and some want to do this and do that. And it just you just don't get together real good, see? Amen. But God said each one of you going to have your own booth. But you got to build it. Some of you too lazy to build your booth. Huh? Come on. Paul said, I labor with my hands that'll be not burdens to the church. Didn't he say it? Praise God. So you got to build your own booth. That's your prayer. You're seeking God, and that's you working on your nature. Huh? Come on. Some of us got to do work on our nature, bring our mind in captivity to the law of Christ. We're building our booth. It ain't going to be here long, but it'll be a temporary thing. There's one thing wrong with my booth when I bring down this old body. I'm too well nourished. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. See, this booth types out our body too, and it's temporary. Glory to God. But watch as they build the booth, and I'm going to bring this on over in other places. He says, verse 42, and ye shall dwell in the booth 7 days, and all of the Israelites born shall dwell in booth. See, everybody's got this old body, ain't they? And everybody's got their individuality. Everybody got their own booth. You know, when I go to church right or somewhere, I usually just get my own seat, and I feel comfortable with that seat. Well, I know it's most of you. You get a certain seat. And we've got, I noticed the other morning, Brother and Sister Hammond came. They spent the night with us, and they were getting coffee. I got my own cup. I mean, it's just like the other cup. I'll drink out of others. But my choice is I got my own cup. I drank my coffee out of. Amen. Brother and Sister Early gave it to me 2 or 3 years ago at Christmas time. Amen. I use that cup every day. Barbara don't get my cup. She's got her own, see. If she did, I wouldn't say nothing, but I'd probably by mistake get hers, you know. That did? All right. So, but the thing is, see, we got our own booth. We got our own personality. We got our own, and you got to build your booth. See, that's what I've been doing, out cutting willow trees, out cutting palm trees, out building my booth. Amen. Praise God. That's your Christianity, Christian experience. Amen. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge wisdom, and the wisdom all. You keep adding too. How many knows you add to your faith? You just don't go and say, here's where my booth's going to be, and sit down and expect somebody else to build it. That's just like exercise. You can hire people to do a lot of things for you. But when it comes to exercising and getting yourself in shape, there are some things you got to do for yourself. How many will say amen? Amen. If I could hire somebody to lose my weight for me. Amen. And exercise and lose weight for me. Amen. But that's one of the things we got to do for ourselves. In the building, the booth, you had to do it for yourself, see? Amen. And it says all the children of Israel, all the children of God, got to build their booth. And I tell you, I may come visit you in your booth, but I'm not going to say, get out of this booth. I'm going to live here. No, that's your place. If God give you a gift of singing or something, I might help you sing and might mess you up like a do doc sometimes needs singing up here. Amen. And a minister. And see, God liked this so good, He gave a fivefold ministry, didn't He? See, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And they are, each one, nobody can do the other's job. And let me tell you something, nobody can do your job at church here. Everybody's got a place, everybody's got something to do. Pray or seek God or testify or encourage somebody or something like that. Amen. You've got your place in Him. Praise the Lord. Anita started building her booth on practicing on the piano. Our Jenny started building hers on playing on the keyboard. We got to keep building. Amen. Is that right? And we're responsible for our booth. What God called us to do. Praise the Lord. So all the children of Israel lived in booth. Watch what it says now. All the Israelites. Okay. And we'll get this last verse on. It says that your generation may know that the children of Israel dwelt in booth when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Amen. That all the people may know God's brought some before you, see. You take old Martin Luther there in Germany, I was telling somebody yesterday how he stood up against the world I admire him so much. Amen. He was willing to stand for a truth that God gave him. He didn't whisper in the ear of somebody else, say, you go tell him. No, he was willing to stand up. Amen. I'm talking about Martin Luther, the 15th century. Amen. That protested Roman Catholicism and led a people out. And some of the things he says today, I admire so much. When they was going to pray them out of purgatory for so much money and so on like that, they got that doctrine in order to raise money and sell indulgence. One of the things he said, if the Pope can pray, bring them out of purgatory for money, why don't he just do the right thing and pray everybody, bring everybody out in anyway, without money? Jesus said, I come without money, without price, didn't he? Amen. But I tell you, some of these preachers on television, everything you see, money this, money that, selling this and selling holy oil, and now one got little bears, different kind of bears, they're called prayer bears. And if you pay them so much, they'll send you one of these prayer bears. And different ones for different things you need. If you need a financial blessing, they got one color. You need something else, they do that so you can sell you more. Well, it's garbage. Amen. Is that right? Come on. Amen. But God give us a place in Him. Now watch these booths. How many see that was 7 days they came? On the first day, 8 days, they had a holy convocation. And then 7 church ages. We've come through, and we're going to have a holy convocation this last day. Praise God. But the thing is, now watch the dream, how it fits perfectly with this. See, I can't sleep in somebody else's bed. Amen. Fact is, when I go, when I'm traveling stuff, I don't even sleep in motel. Don't even sleep as good as I do in my own bed. Do you? How many knows it? Amen. In my own bed, I can sleep better in my own bed than any bed I've ever slept in. Praise God. Amen. So, in that dream, see, I was uncomfortable. Then I said the Feast of the Tabernacles, and that's why it is a separate place for everybody, see. Amen. All right. Now we're going to Ezra just for a moment on this, and we're going to just get a little more. We're going to continue another time because of the fact that it would be so long and it takes so long to get through this. And the only thing I want to do here is just get a little scripture to show you about their rejoicing and praising God and so forth when they came together. Amen. This was at the end of the age after being taken into Babylonian captivity for 70 years and brought back to the homeland. It was ending that Babylonian bondage, but it was starting another age where Israel would be blessed. God's bringing them back to the homeland, getting ready for the Messiah. See? So, it goes, I'm not going to read the whole lot of Ezra there, but you can read. I'm in the third chapter here. And I'll pick up about the priest and the people there, what they were doing. They saw they were getting back to what God wanted. And Ezra 3 and 11, it says, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto God, because He is good, and His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was being laid. And many of the priests and Levites and chief fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first half, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many of them shouted for joy. Now let me tell you something on this. When we see this thing being brought back to what it was in Bible days, hallelujah, praise God, the foundation restored and God's church coming back like it was in Bible days, then we should shout. Now, it ain't all shouting, but then neither is it all weeping, see. Amen, is that right? They praised God and they shouted with a loud voice, amen, and they wept before God. I've seen people get so happy they start crying. Yeah. I know, that's a lot of things. See, these people, when they saw this, the Feast of the Tabernacle, bringing them back and restoring it. They begin to rejoice. They begin to praise God. And it was just a good time in the Lord. Praise God. And the singers, they sang and they shouted. And the next verse there says, so the people could not discern the noise of the shout from the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud voice, and the noise was heard afar off. In other words, some was crying, some was shouting. It was just a group. And they saw God back doing what? He brought them back home. And the temple foundation built. The feast was restored. The feast. They started doing these feasts again. Feast of the Tabernacle. So the joy of the Lord was with them. And there's one other place in the... And I'll not try to get... there are dozens of places we could touch this, but I think the point is being made here. Or Zechariah 14 and 16, it says, and it shall come to pass, this prophet's prophesying, that everyone that is left of all nations which came up against Jerusalem, that's during the great tribulation, they'll try to destroy Israel, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. See? Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the only one, I think, that goes into the millennia, the way I understand. Amen. But this Feast of Tabernacles, they'll keep it all the way through the millennium. And it says, and it shall come to, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And this here is King Jesus sitting there on the throne in Israel, ruling the earth for 1,000 years. And all nations come up worshiping Him during this feast, festival time for the 1,000-year period. And if some say, I'm not going up there. I'm not going to build a tabernacle. I'm not going to get up there and get briars and splinters in my hand building a little booth for 7 days. I'm just not going to do it. Okay, don't do it. But I'll tell you this, there ain't going to be no rain on your crops. Huh? Amen. Amen. The next year you'll go. Praise God. So watch how it says here. There'll be no rain. Verse 18, it says, and the families of Egypt that go not up, this is including the whole world here, this one, and the families of Egypt that come not up, that have no rain, and if the families of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Ephraim. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nation that come not up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judea shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all that sacrifice shall come and take of them and sue therein. Get refreshed. Amen. That's why we come to the house of God sometimes, to sue in the good word of God, isn't it? Get refreshed. Sue therein, and that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of the Lord. In other words, God, He's purifies and separates, and it'll be God's people. Those that are left, they'll come up and do what's right. Praise God. Now, how many here, I'm going to read one of the other scriptures, maybe New Testament, before we close here. Got several, but like I say, I won't finish today. How many sees everybody had their individual booth? Amen. I can't. Now, Brother Doc might say, Brother Ben, come over to the house and we'll cook a steak. And that way I'd be on my way. Come over and he might say, with our late, won't y'all just spend the night? We got an extra bed here. But if I say, I think I'll just move in with you. I don't know what he would say, but I know what he would think. He'd say, no, you're not. If you need to stay there, do something, we can pay. Amen. That's why God gave each one of them their own booth, so they could go in and get refreshed, see? Amen. It's like a cubicle in a big building, see? And we could say this, to bring it up to modern days. Like there's several people working in a building, secretaries and so on. They got their cubicles. On their cubicles, they have a picture of the husband, the kids, and maybe the mom and dad, and maybe they post little things on the wall of the cubicle. Their personal things. But what if you went to their cubicle and ripped them off, ripped their things off, put your picture there or somebody else? You'd have a fight on your hands. That's their cubicle, and leave them alone. They're all working for the same company, but that's their cubicle. We're all serving the same God, but you've got your cubicle. You've got your place, and I can't get to your place. Whew! Amen. I'm about to get happy. Amen. I like the way God does things, don't you? Amen. How He just fix it like we need to fix. So, God was trying to foreshadow and show something here. Amen. And one of the things, since the fall took place, we don't have a permanent, eternal body. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. But after this to judge. But God's got that body for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I'll read a little there, and we'll begin to get to a place where we'll just close out on it. I tell you one thing I like. We're dead, and our life is hid with Christ. And the Bible says we're risen with Him. Amen, we're alive in Christ. Oh, I better not get that now, though, because it's going to get me out. Yeah, where you going to be looking at your watch saying, when is He going to shut up? Amen. But that'll be on next week, I guess. Lord's will and ever how He leads us. But the point is, we're risen with Christ. We've got a new life. We got eternal life in these old buildings here. The building, the huts are temporary. This is our dwelling place. Sometimes you get aggravated. Sometimes you get frustrated. If it come a good rain, it might rain right through on you. Because you got your little hut built with limbs up there and everything, but it's your place. Amen. Is that right? All the time while they were dwelling in their little booth, they knew in a week they're going back home. Well, I'll tell you something. Listen to this predestination. The Bible says we were with Him in the beginning. Amen. He's chosen us in Him. Even though we're in these temporary booths, we're going home. Hallelujah. Well, we got the eternal body. Amen. I said this a lot of times because it's so astounding to me when sometimes you look out on the meadow, especially in summertime when the dew falls at night and the sun comes up, you see on the meadow the grass out there 10,000 diamonds sparkling. Woo! Amen. When the sun hit that dew, they begin to dance. I don't know what moves them around, but they sparkle, you know. Look out on the meadow where freshly mowed grass, where it's not too much. So they sparkle. You know why it is? It's that sun calling them dewdrops back where they were at in the beginning. Amen. And you ought to sparkle. That's why the children of Israel, some shouted, some cried, and some just had a good time. They knew they were going home. Hallelujah. Praise God. The other morning I got up and I looked out on the porch and there was something sparkling. Like a diamond. And I'd move and it'd change color. I'd move and I said, now what in the world is that? You know, I couldn't exactly figure out what it was. Light out there and it was early in the morning. The sun just began to peep up. But what it was, a spider had built a spider web there at the end of the porch and dew drop had run down on it. There was a drop of dew. And the way it was, you could move and it'd be a different color. I mean, I ain't never said, I said, thank you, Lord. How did you ever figure that out, Lord? Amen. Make that pretty dewdrop. It was sparkling because it was going back into the air where it came from. Woo! Yeah. Okay, I said 2 Corinthians. I ain't even got there myself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's good, ain't He? He's real. Praise God. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start verse 1. Amen. Paul's writing. He's writing about when we'll lay aside these tabernacles, he called. Amen. And listen to that read. It says, for we know. Do you know? See? That's what you got to do. You got to know. Some things you got to know. See? Amen. I know I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Amen. For we know that if an earthly house of this tabernacle. Notice he's talking about tabernacle now. Earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. And it's going to be. He said we have a house. Woo, the eternal house, see? Amen. When they were there in that booth, they knew they had a house. They'd left there and they've come here. That's like we were with Him in the beginning, in God's mind and predestination. We left and we come here, we live in these booths. Amen. I'm going to repeat myself. I said this a little bit ago. But when they went to the temple to worship, they went as one man. Amen. When we're coming here together, we come as the body of Christ. Amen. We're not trying to show our individuality so much. Amen. We just come in and say, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Amen. You're a member of one body. He says here, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's destiny, we have a building of God. An eternal house, not made with hand, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. That's where we're going. Amen. I thank God for this old booth here. It served me well. Amen. Might have a headache sometime. Might have a backache. And when it rained, it might pour down on me. It's not the most comfortable place I've been, but I tell you, I enjoy it. It's my individual place in God. In my Father's domain are many dwelling places. And He gave me one of them. Amen. Now let's get on here. It says, verse 2, for in this we groan, earnest desiring to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. I imagine about 6 day there. They say, how many days is this now? You know, I'd like to get a good bath, you know. Yeah, I'm reading about here. We earnestly groan to be clothed with a house from heaven. This is, and verse 3 says, if so be that being clothed, you shall not be found naked. Now that's, I ain't got time to preach on all these verses, but I will say this. Your spirit just ain't going to be floating around out here. We got a house in heaven. It'll go, when draw your last breath in this old body, you're in that house in heaven, that glorified body. Hallelujah. That theotomy, it's called, that body there that's going to come back one of these days and pick up these earthly bodies. Amen. There we'll eat and have a good time. Praise God. All right. But now we're dwelling in our booth. Amen. How many enjoy dwelling in the booth? It's all right, but I'm glad that we don't have to dwell in it all the time, don't you? Don't you imagine those Jews? Just think now. Just put yourself... And maybe it's rained that night. Maybe there's wet. And maybe this is only the 5th day. And they're having a good time. They're worshiping God, praising God. But can you imagine them saying, how many more days is it? Let's see, how many hours will that be? You know, I tell you, I had a very uncomfortable night last night. Water run right in under me. You know, I want my bed. Get home and get my bed. Well, that's what we're wanting home. We want to get home and get that good thing He has prepared. Just 2 more days. And woo! Amen. So they dwell in booths, and they were made out of the earthly things, and that's why our body is made out of earthly things. We're dwelling in booths. Amen. And in this booth, don't you come in there and tell me to move this and move that and move that. I might bring my coffee pot. I don't think they had coffee then. But I'd probably brought it if I had. And got me a good cup of coffee, you know. Don't you come in there and say, get that coffee pot out of here. Honey, this is my booth. If you don't want a coffee pot in yours, that's your business. but this is mine. I build this one. God give me this boot. Now, when we go up to worship, we all believe the same thing. We all rejoice the same way. We all believe in the same God. Amen. We're all having a good time, Lord. But when I come back in my booth, see, I might have slipped me a little cot there. And you might not have brought a cot. You might say, they ain't right. You got a cot here in your booth. I said, get out. This is my booth. You ought to brought you a cot. You knew we were going to be here for 7 days. You was too lazy to bring anything. You just brought the clothes on your back. That's the reason you're stinking. No. Amen. I'm just saying that we're individuals in God. How many sees it now? We got that part right. All right. Now, he says, verse 4, it says, For we that are in this tabernacle, the booth, the hut, do groan, fuss, and argue, being burdened. It rained last night. Not for that which we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality. See what he's talking about? That mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who has given us the earnest of the Spirit. He's going to give us the rest of it. That's the down payment. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing this, that while we're at home in this body or in our booth or in our hut, amen, we're not at home. We're not at a real home. We're going back. Have I got time to say this? Glory to God. Amen. Now, when we get over in the eternal age, which we will do, we'll probably on the next time we come on this, we get over there, they get over that city, as this is Revelation 21 and 3. John got in heaven, he said, I saw no tabernacle. See, they had one all along the tent. He said, for the Lord thy God is the tabernacle thereof. Amen. He saw no little huts laying around. Because them hut, that word booth means temporary dwelling place. We've reached our permanent dwelling place. We're one in God. We're one in Christ. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this another privilege that we've had to come and expound on your word. And Lord, we just believe that you've been in our midst this morning, Father. And we just thank you, God, for revelated word.